Being a fan of a sports team can be a source of joy when they win and disappointment when they lose. But it turns out, despite the ups and downs, having strong sports allegiances and connections may actually be good for you overall. In a series of interviews, surveys, and other research, our next guest found that people who are invested in sports teams tend to be happier, more open-minded, and have deeper, more rich social relationships in their lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does being a sports fan mean to you? Do you have a community of people that you watch the big game, whatever the game might be, with? Friends, family, coworkers, whoever happens to show up at the bar that day? Let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. David Sikoriak is founder of Dexterity Consulting, a former executive at Madison Square Garden. He's co-author of the new book, brand new book, Fans Have More Friends. Dave, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you and your co-author, Dave, have been in the sports world a long time. What led you down this path of looking at the social and community benefits of being a fan?
Yeah, when we started working in sports, we began seeing this pattern of social relationships incentivizing the behavior. So, you know, I was working at the Knicks, and why would somebody be a Knicks season ticket holder, especially when the team is not performing well? Well, when you spend time with people and, you know, do ethnographic research, what you begin to see is there's a web of social relationships around. And so we were doing this, and we began seeing this. You know, we were studying baseball fans, we were studying NFL fans. World Cup came around in 2018. We explored that. And this pattern manifested over and over again, that the bigger fans had a lot of social relationships. So we're like, how can we test this proposition in a way to prove it out that this exists on scale? And we were, you know, not convinced that it would manifest on scale, but we devised an approach to test how big of a fan one is and to test how robust one's social network is. And long story short, what we found was the bigger fan you are, the more friends you have. And it's not only that, the bigger fan you are, the more you interact with those friends, the more you value those relationships. And then when we focused it on family, the bigger fan you are, the more you interact with your mom, your dad, your kids, your spouse, and the more you value those relationships. So on, we began seeing these, no matter how you looked at the measurement of your social network, you saw that bigger fans were really tapping into this. And this is the beauty of sports. It just gives you constant opportunities to engage with others, to have random conversations with a stranger, or have a heart-to-heart with your dad talking about the Packers beating the Cowboys on Sunday.
Now, what is it about sports in particular and not something else, our hobbies or whatever it might be?
You know, we are pro-social interaction. So if it's, you know, if you're connecting over yoga or woodworking, good for you. That's great, and you should do that, and because it's going to be healthy for you. The beauty of sports is it exists at a scale like no other.
Right.
Right. It's like, you know, we could talk about The Sopranos. So, you know, that's my reference point for a show that captivated us, or one of the early shows back in the early 2000s. It doesn't compare to, you know, somebody having a conversation about The Sopranos versus having a conversation about this Sunday's game between Packers and Cowboys. It doesn't compare, because sports exist at a scale that is unlike anything else. So you're likely to go into a bar and bump into a football fan. You're not likely to bump into a Sopranos fan or a Game of Thrones fan or somebody who practices yoga or likes to hike. They're possible. It's just you can't bank that one in.
Well, to that point, we heard from Joel on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Joel says, living in Green Bay, one is surrounded by Packers fans. Sports is a huge part of our local identity. The Packers bring much income to our community and do a lot of charitable work here and across the whole state. And Joel says, we greet each other on Mondays after a win with "How about those Packers?" instead of "Hi, how are you?" Now, Green Bay is special, but it doesn't have to be Green Bay, right, Dave?
You know, it doesn't have to be. And Green Bay is special there, but it is, you know, what it is just like a point of common connection that a community has, that they can signal something and it could start a random conversation. So, you know, talking about the Packers game is an easy way in. I see somebody with a Cowboys hat, I could say "tough loss on Sunday," and they're like, yeah, thank you, you know, again. But you know, those interactions are really healthy for us, right? And the pandemic taught us that. We miss those interactions with the people on the periphery of our social networks, the barista, you know, somebody you see when you're heading into work. all those kind of, you know, distant interactions that you can have the one-off hello are really healthy for us. And sports is a way that we can actually make those distant interactions much more fruitful.
Talking to Dave Sikoriak, co-author of the new book, Fans Have More Friends, about the social community benefits of being part of a fan community. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you see in your own community, in your own life, in your family? Do you bond with people maybe in small ways, maybe in bigger ways over your team or your sport, whatever it may be? Call in and tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dave, you see this as a solution to a couple problems. We hear again and again about an epidemic of loneliness in the U.S., of a lack of connection. COVID obviously didn't help that. You really see this connection we have over sports as being at least part of the cure.
I think that's well positioned there. It's part of the cure. It is what sports fandom does for you is create a sense of belonging. And loneliness is the opposite state of belonging. And again, it gives you belonging in a way that is not just with those close to you, but could be those in the community and could be complete strangers. That it gives you one kind of central place of identity that you can connect with other people.
And to that point, you share, you know, you're working with survey data, but you also did focus groups and one-on-one interviews with people. One of my favorite stories was someone named Jennifer, originally family from Kingston, Jamaica, came with her family to the U.S., was in middle school, I think in California, not fitting in, and saw some kids in jerseys, football jerseys. She had been a football fan. Quoting here now, I was like, you like football? They were like, dude, we love football. Who's your team? This one kid, Raymond, was like, the Raiders. And I was like, you're my people. I hang out with you now. And that really speaks to the ability of a lonely kid in that case to find their people.
Well, it is. I mean, you have me smiling because Jennifer is just a wonderful human and a great storyteller and really comes alive in the book there. And it's such a basic way of looking at it. And, you know, fast forward to Jennifer, grown adult, this powerful woman, multiple degrees, excelling in life. And she still looks back. It's like, yeah, you know, my relationship with my uncles when I came to this country were the seminal moments. They took me under their wing. They taught me Raiders football. They taught me how to throw a spiral. And that gave me the confidence to survive in, you know, as an immigrant, as a person of color, as a woman, on and on and on. There were markers that she learned through just being able to interact on neutral ground with other people.
Okay, now another problem that we talk a lot about in the show, I was actually surprised to see it come up in your book, political polarization, where people kind of build an identity. I'm on this side, you're on that side, and so much of our identity then connects to that. Sports can be a way to cross-cut. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, it's to me the biggest point of our book, and you know what we are most hopeful about of using sports fandom to help cure some of the ills of polarization. So we are polarized as a country, not that we have different political beliefs. That's actually could be productive. The problem is we have two separate universes of people that live different lives, that shop at different places, watch different TV shows, and rarely watch different news outlets. And rarely interact with each other. And that what that does for us is it actually ratchets up the negative feeling, the hate towards other people. And what we saw various ways of looking at this is the bigger fan you are as a Republican, the less hate you have towards Democrats. So there's something used in political science called a feeling thermometer on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 being really cold, 100 being hot. So you ask Republicans how they feel about Democrats, they rate about a 20. You ask Democrats how they feel about Republicans, they average about a 22. But when you split each of those polls apart by how big of a fan they are, that moves from a 18 for non-fan Republicans to 27, or you know, we're in that range, and the same movement for Democrats. And really what's going on here is, to your point, a crisscross cutting identities. That we are living in separate bubbles. The one time those bubbles could actually intersect is around an NFL game, around a baseball game, around the World Cup that's coming up. These are moments that we are actually not Republicans, Democrats, we're Packers fans. Or I'm a Packers fan, you're a Cowboys fan, and we're going to be at each other, but in a very playful way. That never happens with our politics today. You cannot talk about that, but you can debate, if you're a Cowboys fan, what they should have done in Sunday's game. And you could debate that from being white or black or Republican or Democrat or Christian or Jewish or whatever it is. And those debates are perfectly, everything's in bounds.
We're talking to brand consultant Dave Sikoriak about a new book that he co-wrote. It's called Fans Have More Friends, looking at the social benefits of being a sports fan, part of a sports community. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do sports mean in your life, to your group of friends, to your family? Do a lot of your social relationships involve sports? Does it matter whether your team is good or not this current year? This current decade, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, sorry, century, you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Dave Sikoriak, brand consultant and former sports business executive who co-wrote the new book called Fans Have More Friends. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has being a fan of sports been a door opener for you in your social life, in your connections with other people, whether that's just a quick chat at the store or, you know, building whole rituals about getting together for the game? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us now in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. When I was a teenager, I discovered Australian rules football and tried to follow it for a while because ESPN was new and they had to fill their airtime with something. Years later, I met a man from Australia, which gave me an opening to strike up a friendship with somebody from half a world away.
Interesting. And Kevin, are you still following Australian rules football? Is it possible to do it now?
It's still possible. I tried to do it online. I've been watching at least the highlights and trying to keep track of who's who, but it's kind of hard.
Kevin, thanks a lot. But Dave, that speaks to, you know, this could be a way to reach out to people from different places and different cultures if we get into their sport. Might be obscure here. It's a big deal there.
Absolutely. And that's something Kevin had, like, sitting in his, he had built up this social equity, mm-hmm. was looking to spend it. He meets somebody from Australia and it paid off. And it was there. And that, you know, that's an extreme example there. But that exists, is paying attention to sports. You don't know when those opportunities come up, and the beauty of sports is somebody can signal that to you, that they are, you know, they're from Dallas, they're from Green Bay, and it opens up conversation.
Kevin, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Dave, I want to talk about, you know, being a fan of a bad team. I joked about the Detroit Lions a few minutes ago. I grew up in southeastern Michigan. I was used to sports-related suffering. You wrote about Cubs fans who had a long, long World Series drought finally end. I've been watching this show, Welcome to Wrexham, about a team at the bottom of the English football, the soccer system there. Is there something special about being that long-enduring fan of a bad team?
Yeah, we often get the question of, like, some of this stuff is, you know, the bigger fan you are, the more friends you have, but it also, you know, works into well-being, that you're the happier you are, the more confident you are, the more optimistic you are. Any kind of measure of well-being, we see a positive relationship with sports fan. I mean, we could credit that to the social relationship, not necessarily sports. So then we get the question of, like, well, what about those Lions fans? you know, so consistently bottom dwellers. And it works the same way. We don't see any difference from a data perspective. We don't see any difference in any kind of the friendship or happiness measures. But when you think about sports fandom, the beauty of it is it provides you a range of emotions to connect over, right? So the Lions fans do a lot of commiserating and a lot of complaining and a lot of venting. But venting is good for you. There's, you know, many aspects of life that we hold things in. With sports, you don't hold it in. Somebody asks you, what do you think of the Lions, and you're a Lions fan, you'll share. You'll vent. And that has a positive benefit. Somebody's listening to you and you're able to let loose of something there. So sports, regardless, win or lose, provide you an opportunity to connect. And the reality is most teams lose at the end of the season.
Right.
There's one winner. So we all get to experience a loss and the jubilation. I'm a Yankees fan. And, you know, so we've had a lot of winning. But we Yankee fans are complaining now. We're itching. It's been 2009 since our last one. And so over the last 12 years, 13 years, there's been a lot more frustration at the end of the year for just in terms of connecting with other people. The frustration is just as valid as interaction that you can have as much as jubilation.
We vote for jubilation. We choose that every single time, but that's just not the reality.
Now, I mentioned the Chicago Cubs there, and you talked, I think it was a father and son who had kind of grown up around the Cubs in particular, and the memories they had, it wasn't, you know, remember winning this game or that game. I mean, there's some of that, but remember watching it with the family, that kind of thing. Can you talk about how families use sports?
Yeah, so this is, Lindsay and Nick. Nick lives in Chicago. Dad lives in Central Illinois. So I met Nick in a focus group and then subsequently did an ethnography with him. And what I asked him was, like, you know, would you invite your dad up? I would like to meet your dad and hang out with the two of you. So we go to a Cubs game, and it's just beautiful, right? You just talk about life. Where I talked about my kids, where I'm from. I'm from New York. I'm a Yankees fan. They talked about their family and their interactions and being a Cubs fan. And there was a moment that we talk about in the book of, you know, I asked his dad of being able to go in 2016 to a World Series game. And, you know, I was like, how was that? How was that feeling? And he just chokes up and doesn't, you know, he musters, it was special. And you know, what dawned on us, you know, in that interaction was, it wasn't the World Series game. It was the 35 years or so, or however old Nick was at the time, of relationship between father, son, father and sister, the family unit that they had, that so much of their life was made up of the Cubs. Like Nick would say, when I first met him, he said, the Cubs are, baseball is my family sport. That's what my family connects over. And they become signal for the years of a relationship. I mean, we have a quote in the book of, when he, you know, sees Juan Santo clicking his heels, he thinks of being at home as a kid sitting on his dad's lap. These are really rich memories that sports, as much as anything else, really elicits in us.
We are talking about social connections we can make as sports fans and the benefits we get from them. Dave Sikoriak is with us, co-author of the new book, Fans Have More Friends. Still time for your story at 800-642-1234. A caller who couldn't stay on the line says, questions whether the friends you make, say, at the bar watching a game are really friends. Like, is there some value even to that casual connection you have? You and I happen to be sitting at the table next to each other, reacting to the game together?
Yes, 100%. We need all those types of interactions, right? So you need those close, intimate friends that you can share, you know, details of your life, your struggles, and those are really important. But it's also important to, hey, did you see that play? What's going on? Where are you guys from? Oh, you went to school here. Do you know that? And that might be it. But you, both of you, had an interaction with a complete stranger, predicated, you know, brought on by sports that are actually quite positive. So yeah, you might not everyone's going to be a lifelong friend, but every interaction can have a positive benefit.
Now I'm going to ask you for advice for people out there who might think, yeah, I like sports, okay, but I don't do this stuff. I don't get these connections. I don't talk to people about it. How can they leverage some of the work you guys have done to use sports to be more connected?
Well, think of someone in your network who's a sports fan, and invariably there's going to be people. You have somebody who's a Packers fan, pay attention loosely to the game. You know, they came back. It was a big comeback. How'd you feel? The beauty of sports fans, if you ask them a question about their team and have their opinion, they will talk. They will give you enough material and they'll actually feel good. It's like, oh, you know that, you know, Tyler's a real listener. He's great and asks great questions. So I think the start is just pay attention a little bit more. Understand. And if you have somebody in your life that is a fan, ask them about these things. You know, you get invited to, you know, go watch a game here. You know, we're hosting a party. Come over. Instead of the, oh, I'm not really a football fan or whatever, just go over. It's not about the football. It's about going there and hanging out and connecting with other people. That's really it. So see those opportunities as not a way to dive into the details of sports, which you might not be as interested in or might not know as much about. See it as an opportunity to connect with others. Me, a Yankee fan, if I met you, you ask me any question about the Yankees, I'm happy to explain. I'll go on and on. I can teach a college level course on the Yankees for you. And I'm sure there's a lot of Packer fans that feel the same way. A lot of Bucks fans that feel the same way about it. Because we're proud of this. This is, you know, having a sports team is really built into your identity. And it's something that we, you know, we put at the forefront of who we are. So you're a non-fan, you meet somebody who's a fan of another team, ask them about it. Because they're really telling you about themselves.
And people might think, okay, yeah, if I went to a, I don't know, a cricket watching party, I have no idea what's going on. I don't want to like be the dumb guy in the room who doesn't get the rules of cricket. How can we overcome that shyness?
Yeah, one thing, as a fan, I've evolved through doing this research. People like Jennifer, you mentioned, really taught me a different perspective. I didn't have the same experience as a Jamaican immigrant coming in here, or I'm not a Jamaican immigrant, so I didn't have that same experience. Mm-hmm. So, we sometimes build up so much into knowing about or sounding stupid, and I tell you, as a lifelong fan, I'm 50 years old now, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Even an innocent question is actually an opportunity that most sports fan would actually, explain to you and not mock you as a result. They'd mock you if you're a Cowboys fan and have fun with you in that. But if you're coming in there and genuinely curious about something, I think most sports fans, would actually indulge you on that.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's David Sikoriak, founder of Dexterity Consulting, former executive at Madison Square Garden, with us today sharing the new book he's co-author of. It's called Fans Have More Friends. If you have a story to share, there's still time. You could do it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Do you have a group of people you watch the game with, whether you're in person or across the country, maybe texting back and forth or talking about it afterward? How do sports fit into your social life and connectedness? Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page.